Good morning. Take time to be holy. That will be our lesson throughout this morning's worship, and our format will be a little bit different. And then I will intersperse my commenting and reading of Scripture and what we normally think of as sermon material with Ethan and leading our hymns. The reason that I chose to do that is because the reading of the Scriptures and the commenting that I will do, I trust, will prepare us better to sing the song. In other words, before we say or sing about taking time to be holy, I want us to consider what holiness is and what it is that we're saying that we will do. So let's begin by thinking about take time to be holy. It's interesting to me that the word translated time in the New American Standard Version appears 308 times in 251 verses in the New Testament, or really in the Bible. You say, well, so what? The point is that the document, the Bible, is a time document. It's fact. It's history. Time is a concept that is important to Scripture, for Scripture is history. What is described happened in fact. It's not surmising. It's not fables. It's not just stories. This is history. Like people in the Bible, we live within time. And we wonder what happens and what is there when time is no more. You see, the Bible teaches us to take time to be holy, to prepare ourselves when time is no more. So we want to think about that. The Bible was written for our instruction as to how to live within time, the time that we are allotted upon this earth, to prepare us to live when time ends. If you're not interested in living beyond time, likely this lesson won't mean a whole lot to you. But if you aspire to eternal life, to live forever, then God has something that He wants us to know about preparing for timelessness within the time that God allots to each of us. And so we have chosen, take time to be holy. In our lesson, we want to make 4 points. We want to talk about holiness. We want to talk about taking the time to be holy. And then we want to talk about it takes time to be holy. And then lastly, the exhortation to make the most of the time that we have in order to do that. Let's start with our first point, holiness. We often do not think in terms of ourselves as being holy. Well, that's for somebody else. That's for God. Well, it is for God, and this is where holiness, or the concept of holiness, must begin. It begins with God. Holiness is a word that is describing separateness, that God is separate. It is the primary quality of His nature, that He is separate from all other things. It overshadows and permeates all other aspects of God's character, the fact that He is holy. In fact, I think that we have a better understanding of a lot of the regulations that God put into effect in the Old Testament about clean foods and unclean foods and clean way of living and unclean way of living and all the priesthood and the things they had to do to be ceremonially clean. I've often asked, why did God do that? Why did God go through and have all of these laws of cleanness and uncleanness, some of which we think are ridiculous to us or to our culture? It was to teach the concept of the holiness of God. He was not to be regarded as common. It's certainly not unclean in the sense of evil or immoral. He was separate. And the people had to learn that. He was separate from all around them. What they, of course, lived in a pagan culture. God was holy. This is emphasized in the scriptures. Psalm 99, verse 3, verse 5, and verse 9. Let them praise you, great and awesome. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Why? Holy is He. Verse 5. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. Holy is He. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His holy hill. 4. Holy is the Lord our God. My brothers and sisters, we sit in this auditorium this very moment in the presence of a holy God. We're here because He is holy. And we come to give Him our praise and adoration. And so we start with the hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Ethan? Just a moment, we're going to take up a contribution. I think that historically this is one of our subjects that you hear the least about. Giving. And maybe it's because we don't want to come across the church as all about money. We've heard comments from other people, from other groups, that they were disenchanted with where they were because it appeared that all they wanted was money. Money for this, money for that. I want us to be reminded, God doesn't need our money. He doesn't need it. It's all His anyway. He just loans it to us, if you will, or asks us to be good stewards of what He has blessed us with. Giving is for us. The command to give is God's way to bless us. Remember, He says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You believe that? Now, no one denies that it's blessed to get to receive. A lot of people who hear that said, well, I'll just stick with receiving. That's good enough for me. But it is more blessed to give than to receive. Why? Why are we blessed more if we're a giver? Because we're like God. He's a giver. He wants to give. He wants to help. He wants to participate. The scriptures, New Testament, use the word fellowship to describe giving. Having fellowship. I want to encourage all the members here. Always, always give. I don't care if it's a quarter, a dollar, $10, $20, $100, whatever it is. In whatever way you've been prospered, don't pass up the opportunity to participate in giving and receive the blessing that God gives because we become more like Christ. We're thinking like Christ. We want to give. It's so with these few comments. We're going to ask the men to come now and to pass the plate. If you're visiting with us and you've got a visitor card, just put it in the plate. Thank you for being here. It is not only God who is holy. We are to be holy. We appreciate the comments of Clement at before the Lord's Supper, for he is absolutely right. The Scriptures teach that we are holy by the fact that Jesus came to make us holy. Again, we often do not think of ourselves as being holy ones. The word saint that is applied to all Christians is literally a holy one, a sanctified one, a person who is set apart from the world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And of course, we understand that this also is a journey. He makes us holy by His death, by forgiveness, but we are commanded to live a holy life, to develop that holiness. Look from 1 Peter 1:14-19. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But, in contrast to that, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves, also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. That's what redeemed us. That's what bought us back. That's what cleansed us. It wasn't anything material in this life. And to be redeemed, of course, is the object of Christ coming into the world, and which gives us the ability to think of ourselves as holy or as saints. So, we are to be holy. Just God is holy. But that means we take the time to be holy. We purposely take the time to be holy. Consider this story from the life of Jesus, in which he traveled to the little hamlet of Bethany, where in the home of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, we find this. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him there into her home. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all of her preparations. I want you to remember that. Jesus is not insensitive to the work of Martha and her care. But she was distracted by it. And she came up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered. That's key. About so many things. Can I see the hands of folks who've ever been worried and bothered about so many things? That works against holiness. That works against taking the time to be holy. But only one thing is necessary, he tells Martha and everyone else there. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. My brethren, if we're to be holy as God is holy, we got to take the time to do it. It must be purposed. It must be planned. It must be every day. Consider this from the parable of the sower when describing the seed that fell among the thorns. What prevented the seed from germinating and bringing forth a plant? Which it did, but it didn't flourish. It got choked out by the cares of the world. And others are the ones on whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire, let's all read this together, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. We got to watch that. If we're going to take the time to be holy, we've got to make sure that the desire for other things, that not necessarily bad things, good things, and it becomes unfruitful. That's the danger. We just don't have the time. Now let's get practical. Because we're going to sing a song in just a moment, right after this, that's entitled, Take Time to Be Holy, and it's going to at least list 9 things we need to be doing in order to take time to be holy. Now, there may be others. I counted 9. I want you to look for them in the song. But when you're looking for them, let me make some suggestions. Will you take the time to be a part of our Bible class program? Because we're going to learn the Word of God better. Take the time to be regular and consistent in your assembling with other Christians. That's going to be in the song. Taking time to pray, taking time to read yourself, to meditate, taking time to be engaged in good works of service to others. Oh, so many things of this wonderful life. We're encouraged again and again to live worthy of Christ's death. He said, well, none of us are worthy. That's right. But we can live because He is worthy. We show, Lord, because of You, I'm willing to do this. And so, take time to be holy. Watch the words. They're so important. Okay, Ethan? But not only are we told that to take time to be holy, it takes time to be holy. We live in a world that instant gratification. We want it right now. I love it that now you could just get on the computer and the next thing you know, the next day, the article that you bought is right there on the doorstep. I love that. Saves me from having to go to the store and just shop right there. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't, but it's indicative of our instant gratification age. Holiness doesn't work that way. Holiness takes time. We have to be willing to be patient, to wait on the Lord. If you notice that little phrase in Scripture, we're going to sing 2 songs that speak about waiting on the Lord. Folks, waiting concept in Scripture on the Lord is not just sitting back folding your hands and, okay, Lord, by the time you did something, I'm just going to see what you're doing. Waiting is an active lifestyle of trusting. Being patiently waiting. Knowing that even though my request is not fulfilled right now or quickly, I can trust the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. Be patient. because it takes time. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due me escapes the notice of my God? See that impatience? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. From Psalm 27:14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. Becoming holy and being holy takes time. Let's sing, The Lord is My Light. Teach me, Lord, to wait, to trust you, so that we can make the most of the time. None of us knows how much time we have in this world. Some of us have already lived the majority of our lives. Some of you are just getting started. We love to see you. Those of us who've lived the majority of our time, we love to be around those who are just getting started. We surely hope that we can be of good encouragement and even a guide at times to the right way to go. But we've got to make the most of the time that we have. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. Why? Because the days are evil. That's why we're exhorted to take time to be holy. It's going to take time. So let's be patient and wait upon the Lord. In that way, we can make the most of the time. But how? How can we make the most of the time? Well, we just sang it a few moments ago. Speak often with the Lord. Did you remember that in the song? Speak often with the Lord. Feed on His Word. Make friends with God's children. Help those who are weak. Seek His blessing in everything. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. Let your friends see Jesus in you. Be calm in your soul with each thought and each motive beneath His control. Follow His Spirit to fountains of love. We'll soon be fitted for service above. You know the people that are going to heaven? They're holy people that Jesus has made holy by His blood, and who therefore give themselves to holiness by the way they choose to live their life. The people who are going to heaven are being prepared in this life for what will be natural, if you will, or normal there. Let's learn to enjoy being holy here. For if we do not, we're not going to see heaven. So, in our conclusion, take time to be holy today. Tomorrow may never come. And there's a part of me that'd just be delighted if it didn't. I want to conclude with this short passage from Psalm 27, 11 through 14, and then we will sing our last song, which is, Teach Me Thy Way. Teach me Thy way. Teach me Your way, O Lord. And lead me in a level path because of my foes. Do not deliver me over to the desire of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. We're going to sing this song to remind each of us that we want the Lord to teach us His way. And if you want to begin that kind of life by obeying His command to repent of your sin and to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, this would be an excellent time for you to make that wish known. But in any way that we see corrections need to be made, may we use this song to encourage all of us. Let's stand. Let us sing. Way, O Lord, teach me.